Brother Lonnie, I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost, and I am thankful that, I tell you, you and I didn't talk at all before we came here, and you're going to be amazed with the message that God has sent for today and how it lines up with just exactly what Brother Lonnie was talking about and what God was letting him feel and where my heart is this morning and where it's been for the last several days. Children of God, I ask you to pray because I've mentioned this during revival. We have, children of God, we have a responsibility to pray that the word of God, when it goes out, that the fowls of the air don't steal it away. We have a responsibility to pray that that word of God goes down into their hearts and it goes down into good ground and that it brings forth fruit. That's our responsibility to be praying during the service when whoever is up here leading the service or a song is going on or whatever is going on, that's our responsibility to be praying. But so I'm asking you as children of God, pray that God's word, because I can't do anything on my own. But I believe God has a message today specifically for our younger people that are going, those of you that are starting back to school, and those of you that are going back for the very first time, going off to college, and you're leaving possibly the safety of your parents' house. And the first part of this may be a little dry because there's some things, some concepts that I want you to understand. So those of you that are young and that are in school, that are going to high school and that are getting ready to go off to college, and I'm specifically talking to this group of girls over here. I'm talking to y'all. For the next 45 minutes or so, I'm asking you to give me your undivided attention. Don't pull out your cell phone. Don't go running to a baby. I'm asking you to give me your undivided attention for about 45 minutes. Because there is a warning that is going to come today that you need to hear. And you need to take heed of the warning. So there are three terms that I want you to understand. Because when I talk, I'm going to use three different terms. And at the beginning, and there's going to be several things I think the Lord's wanting me to talk about. But at the very beginning, there's three different things that I want you to understand. The word relative, the word perspective, and the word absolute. So when I use the word relative, what I'm trying to say, it's much like when you're out trying to give somebody directions and say, stand up right there. If you tell your friend to get to the back of the church, you need to go left, right? So you would tell your friend, if you go into the back of the church, you go left. I want you to stand up right here. If you told your friend to go to the back of the church, what way would you tell them to go, left or right? Huh? Go to the right. Well, if you're facing this way, you're going to say, go to the right. So if he's on this side and she's on this side, and they go to say, to give directions to somebody, you go to the back of the church, he's going to say, you go left. And she's going to say, you go right. Those directions are what you can sit down, or what's called relative directions. They're dependent upon your perspective of where you are. The location that you're at determines the relative direction that you give. The location she was at determined the relative direction that she was going to give. But both of you could be standing in different places, in different perspectives, and give the same exact instruction. So I'm not sure which way is north. I think this way is north, right? So that's north, so that's going to be west right there. So if you were to tell your friends, you were standing right here, and you say, to get to the back of the church, you need to go west. That's what's called an absolute direction. It does not matter the perspective, doesn't matter where you're standing, doesn't matter where you are. When you say go to the back of the church, you say go west, you will always go in that direction. So there, this is specifically, I guess, or for those that are going off to college for the first time. And you're leaving the safety of the teachings of your parents' house. And you're leaving the safety of the church where you have been taught all your life. And when you leave that safety, I want you to know for a certain that there is a devil out there who has a mission statement for your life. His mission for your life, the goal that he has, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy your life. By the word of God, that is the goal, the mission statement that the devil has for your life. And he does not wait for you to be an adult before he starts to try and press those tactics against you to get you going down the wrong path. He doesn't wait until you're an old person. So, but one of the things that you're going to run into when you leave and you go off into these colleges and universities of higher learning, and I'm all for education. I mean, I've gotten my bachelor's degree, I've gotten my master's degree, and I am all for going as far as you can getting an education as you can get, because you need it to survive in some instances in this world today. But what I want you to understand is what you're stepping off into. When you go off into that world, they have a stated goal, an intention of telling you that truth is relative and that truth is not absolute. Did you hear what Uncle Lonnie said just a minute ago? He was talking about truth. And he was talking about how do we know what is right? And when you go off, you are stepping into a spiritual warfare. It is spiritual war that you are fighting, and the goal of the adversary is to capture you from a young person, to capture your mind, and to keep you until the day of your death. And he is trying to keep you from coming to the knowledge of the light of the truth of the Word of God. And he is trying, when you go off to these colleges, they will try to teach you that truth is relative, meaning that the truth for Abel over here is completely different than the truth for y'all over here. I can have a different truth than the truth that you have, and it's all based on my perspective of what I believe. That I believe that it's okay, so that some people will tell you that they believe it is okay to go out and live a lifestyle of homosexuality. And they will also tell you that it is okay to go out and live a lifestyle addicted to drugs or alcohol or these other substance abuses, and they will tell you that these things are okay to do. And they have convinced themselves that that truth is true for them, that there is, and that if you tell me I'm doing something wrong, or if you tell me that is wrong, then you are wrong, is what they think in their mind. And what I want so desperately for you to realize and to know is that there is a way to know what is truth. There is an absolute truth in this world, and truth is not relative. Truth is not dependent upon your perspective. It does not matter where you are. Doesn't matter where in time you are, where in space you are. The truth is always the truth, no matter what. And those who believe in a relative truth, they don't actually really believe in a relative truth. They only believe in a relative truth when it's convenient for them to believe that truth is relative. Because if I come up to a stop sign out there and there's an 18-wheeler that's coming perpendicular to me at the stop sign, and if I choose to believe that if I just keep going that that 18-wheeler is not going to hit me, doesn't matter if I believe that or not. The truth is, if I keep going and that 18-wheeler is coming at me, it is going to hit me. So, truth is absolute. Don't ever let anyone tell you that truth is relative. It's just relative to those who want to make it relative during what is convenient for them, because sometimes the truth is against what they believe. And Jesus... So there was one time where this professor or this rabbi began to teach people, and he came and he told them just crazy, crazy things that didn't seem, that several people had a hard time believing. He would come to them and he would tell them, "Out of me flows rivers of living water. And if you drink of me, you'll never thirst again." And he told some people that "I am the bread of life. And if you eat of me, you'll never be hungry." Then he told some, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father except by me." And he claimed to be God in the flesh. And for that claim and for his teachings, the religious people of the time put him on trial and they sent him up to the governor of this area known as Judea, and they sent him up to Pilate, who was the governor there. And Pilate began to ask him, we're over in John chapter 18. Starting in verse 33, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" So he's asking Pilate, "Pilate, are you asking me because you're saying this, or are you asking me this because somebody else has told you this of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" So he's asking, okay, you've been delivered to me by your own nation. Why have they delivered you to me? They're telling me you're a king. You're claiming that you're a king. What have you done? What wrong have you done that I'm having to take my time to judge you right now? And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." So he says, "Thou sayest that I'm a king, period. You're telling me that you say I'm a king, period." The next sentence says, "To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, comma, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So he's saying that the reason he came into the world is so that he can bear witness of truth. the very beginning of John, he tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word of God is the Son of God that became flesh. And while he was on this earth, he spoke. He was the living incarnation of truth, the embodiment of everything that is true. It was him while he was living here on this earth. Then he was crucified and has gone back to the Father. And what we have now for truth is his Word that has been written down for us, recorded for us. And he says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will come to you and will bring to your remembrance the truth of me, the truth of Jesus. And so Pilate keeps going, and Pilate says unto him in verse 38, what is truth? So even 2,000 years ago, this tactic of the devil is not a new tactic, is what I want to get over to you, is him trying to convince people that truth is relative. It is not a new method or a new tactic of trying to attack you. It has been going on for centuries. At least 2,000 years ago, even Pilate is asking, what is truth? What is it? What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Going back up to verse 37. Jesus' words, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He was there standing on trial and was proclaiming the truth of God's word. Like I said, he told some people he was living water. He told some people he was the bread of life. He told others, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. One of the things that the secular world will try to convince you of out there is that Jesus is just a good moral teacher. Is that he was a prophet and he was a good moral teacher and he's somebody good to listen to, but he's not really the Son of God. But if you listen to the claims that he made, that he says, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, out of me flows rivers of living water, and I am the bread of life. Those are words, if they are not true, they're words of a lunatic. They're words of a crazy person who would come up to you and tell you, drink of me and eat of me. And that I am the only way to truth and to life. If anybody now comes to you and tells you that, I hope you run from them. I hope you run as fast as you can away from that person because they are a lunatic. So either Jesus is a lunatic and a liar, or he actually is what he says he is. And he is Lord of all. And so don't let him tell you he's just a good person to listen to his teachings. His teachings are divisive. They are offensive. They are intentionally made that way to divide the nations, those that are the sheep and those that are the goats, those that hear his voice and come to his voice, and those that reject his voice and go away from his voice. Did you hear what he told Pilate? He said, those that hear my voice are of the truth and will come to the truth. So what I'm pleading with you today is in this first section, and I know this first part has been rather dry, but is don't ever let anyone tell you that there is not truth, that there is not an absolute truth in this world. Truth is absolute, and the only place we can find absolute truth is in the Word of God. That is the only place we can find spiritual absolute truth is in God's Word. Now the next part that's on my mind is more towards those that are still in high school. And not even in high school. Man, it starts younger and younger and younger, Brother Lonnie. But we have record in the Word of God. I'm just going to read it to you. We're going to be over in Mark chapter 6. Starting in verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Not meaning that he was unintelligent, but meaning that he could not speak. He was mute. And whatsoever he taketh, and wheresoever he taketh him, wheresoever that spirit taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell down on the ground and wallowed foaming. So there was this boy, he had been possessed by this spirit. And now this isn't a parable. Sometimes Jesus tells parables that are so that we can see what something is like. This is an actual historical account. This really took place. And this is not a parable or a fairy tale. This is truth and the recounting of the truth that took place. And there was this young boy who had the spirit about him, and it caused him to be mute, and it caused him to gnash with his teeth and to pine away, and the disciples could not cast that spirit out of him. And Jesus asked the Father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So according to the Word of God, this young boy came under spiritual attack of the devil from the time that he was a youth. Just a young child, he came under spiritual attack of the devil. And did you hear what it caused him to do? It caused him to throw himself into the water. It caused him to throw himself into the fire. And its goal was to destroy that child. So the other warning that I want to send, that I want to make as plain as possible. I've already told you that when you leave the confines of your parents' home and you step off into those schools and you walk down those hallways and you go to the parties that they invite you to, or you go with your friends and you're driving down the road in a car, as you are in those situations, you are in the middle of a spiritual warfare that you don't naturally see with your own eyes. And you are under attack at that point where they are trying to get you, and it will come to you in the hands of a friend. Sometimes in the hands of a loved one. I've even seen it happen that way. I've seen the temptations come to you in the hands of possibly someone that you love or that is a close friend, and they will come to you and they will say, it's okay to try this. There's nothing wrong with this, whether it's alcohol or some type of drug that is out there, or even getting addicted to promiscuity, because that's as much an addiction as anything else is. And at the point you open yourself up to that, it is dangerous and hard to get away from. I didn't intend on talking on that one. The other two that I wanted to talk about were substance abuses of alcohol and of drugs. And they will come to you in the hand of a friend, offering it to you, trying to get you to have a good time, they say, with them. But what the warning that I want you to realize is that the Word of God actually talks about these drugs. When he refers to the word sorcery in the Word of God, he's not just talking about Harry Potter. Okay? He's not talking about Harry Potter. That is a part of sorcery, but one of the things that he is referring to with sorcery, when you get to the root word of sorcery, the Greek word is pharmakon. And it's where we get our word today for pharmaceuticals. And he is talking about the mixing up of potions, the mixing up of different substances with the intention of altering the mind, of changing the mind so that you can, what essentially happens is you kick your mind into neutral. And as you are taking those drugs, or as you are getting addicted to that alcohol, even to the place where you've drank it so much that you've kicked your mind into neutral, you are giving yourself over at that point to that spirit that is after you, and you are saying, I'm no longer going to try and fight this. I'm just kicking my mind into neutral through this drug or through this alcohol, and I am allowing my mind to be controlled by this substance. And it will take such hold of your life. It will grab you and hold on to you with such power that the Word of God tells us that just like that man, that young boy, the disciples could not cast it out of him. Jesus said it took fasting and praying, and Jesus was able to give that boy freedom over that spirit that he had given over to. Three times this past week, Brother Lonnie, three times this past week, I have heard of a young person. One, I'm not sure if they were on some type of substance abuse, I don't know. But three times just this week, people have talked to me about a young person who got into some type of substance abuse. There was one, is a young man over in Alabama that he was taking mushrooms and was so addicted to the mushrooms that he was convinced that while he was taking those mushrooms, he was having a religious experience, and he was convinced, he told a man of God, I believe I've seen God while I was doing these mushrooms. And the warning came from the man of God. He said, son, you're not seeing God. He said, you're seeing something. You're seeing something. I don't doubt it at all that there's a spirit that is trying to take a hold of your life right there, and you're seeing something. But it's not God. And the man wouldn't take the warning. He said, no, you're wrong. I don't believe you. That's not true. I'm seeing God in this. And three times this week, I've heard the same result of that pattern of behavior. What did he say here in Mark? The goal of that spirit was to throw him into the water or throw him into the fire, and he was trying to destroy him. The end of that road is death. The end, and it has to start somewhere. It will start with the very first time that they come to you and you give in to taking that and think, this will be fun, or this will help me with my anxiety. This will help me bear, because some of you guys are going through stuff that I have no clue about. And there's some things that I don't know. The difficulties that are in your life and the anxiety that the devil has already placed in your life, I don't know it. But God can take care of it, and you don't have to go to a substance to drown out the pain that you are feeling. You don't have to go to that substance to drown it out. You can go to the giver of life. You can go to the person who is the bread of life. But the end in all of those situations that I talked about a minute ago, it ended with that young person taking their own life. They gave over to that so many times. And I heard this three times this week. Just this week. So it's not a coincidence that we are hearing of this. The warning that I'm trying to give to you is that this is a spirit of the devil that is out there intentionally trying to steal, kill, and destroy your soul from a youth. From a child, even we have record in the Word of God, it is trying from a youth to steal, kill, and destroy you. And the end of that road, if you give into it, the end of that road is either one, you take your own life, or you listen to that lie of the devil one too many times and you take so much of that substance that you overdose and it does finally take your life. And at that point, up until that point, there is still hope for your soul. But at that point that the breath of life leaves you, there is no more hope for that individual. At that point, the Word of God says that as the tree falls, so shall it lay. If you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you won't be doing those things. But if you are doing those things and it does take your life, there is no purgatory. There is no us praying to get you out of this holding place, to get you up to heaven. We can't pay a priest or do anything to get you out. The point that breath of life leaves you, there is no more hope at that point. And these are not games that we are playing. We're not playing a game when we come to church, Brother Lonnie. We're not coming up here putting on a show and like Samson did, where Samson came out here and he shook and shook and shook and the power of God was nowhere on him. Everybody that was looking at him knew that the power of God was nowhere on him and he was overthrown. When we come out and the power of God, we don't come out and just fake the power of God. We can't manufacture the power of God, but when we come out and the Lord blesses us and lets us feel that power of the Lord, that comes straight from the throne room of God, and we did nothing to deserve it or nothing to manufacture it. So it's not a game that we're playing when we come out here. So, Brother Lonnie, I wanted to talk to the young people about, please know that there is truth in this world and that you can find truth. There is a way to find truth. Please do not, because you are walking into a war zone when you step into your school, whether you realize it or not, it is a war zone every single day trying to tempt you with something that is going to steal your soul. It is a spiritual war zone that you are going into. And the prayers that we have as your parents and as your loved ones is that God would protect you from that evil and keep you from it. But it is ultimately up to you. And it is your decision to make. Because the Word of God says, with every temptation, I will make a way for an escape. There is the possibility, with every single temptation that you face, He makes a way. That is the truth of God's Word. He promises, I make a way for an escape with that temptation. But it is our choice to make. Do I choose to take the way out? Or do I choose to give in to that temptation? But Lonnie, I think I might have one more section that I want to read. And if the Lord will, I hope that He... Lord, I know this has been... hadn't been a shouting service, but my heart has been heavy about this all week long. My heart has been heavy about this. And I've been... Lord, I want to be about my Father's business protecting and giving the Word of God and protecting our loved ones, because there is an adversary that is trying to steal you. And my goal through the Word of God is to shepherd you and to bring you in and to keep you safe in the fold so that you're not out there on the fringes, because those that are out there on the fringes are the ones that get picked off the first. Stay close to what you know. Brother Lonnie, the last thing I think I want to read, and I'm hoping he'll let me tie this up and bring it to a close, is over in the book of Revelations in chapter 21. And he says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." This passage in Revelation chapter 21 is telling us the truth of God's Word that I want you to walk away with today. The basic truth of God's Word is that there is a God, there is a devil. There is a God, and there is a devil. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. Very real, very literal places. And it is our choice that we make today. Do we listen to the words of Jesus, the words of God, or do we continue to listen to the words, the lies of the devil? It is our choice to make today. Do we choose life and choose heaven, or do we choose death And do we choose hell? My brother's father-in-law, Brother Eddie Lonas, y'all know Brother Eddie. I love his testimony. Man, Brother Eddie's testimony, it does me so good. I get excited every time I hear how God brought him to the Lord. But he was a young man, and he had a bunch of storms had come up. He didn't even know anything about the way of holiness. Didn't know holiness even existed. Didn't know anything about it. And a big storm had come up and had kind of flooded where he was at. And he was down at his grandfather's farm, and he went off. If you listen to Brother Eddie's really country, man. I mean, country, son. I love it. It's great. So, but if you listen to the way he talks, he says, I went off down in the holler out there at my grandfather's farm. And I'm not sure that I even know what a holler is, but he said I went off out there into the holler. I'm thinking it's a low spot. I think that's what a holler is, but I really don't know. But he says he went off over down into the holler, and he said, I was just sitting there and I was looking at all of the devastation that was there from the floods that came by. And I thought, he said, Lord, you sure are powerful. And then he got to thinking to himself, and he said, God, how does a man know what is right? He didn't have the Holy Ghost at this point. Never even heard of the way of holiness at all. And he said to himself out there, how does a man know what is right? How does he know what is truth? Is what he was getting at. How does he know? Because and he says in his testimony, he says, every man says that they're right. Brother Lonnie talked about it earlier. He said, all these different churches and places out there, they all think they're right. How does a man know? How do you know that that this is what God intended for right? And he said, I didn't even realize what I was doing. He said, but I was praying. He said, I didn't know I was praying. He said, but I was down there praying. And he said, it wasn't just a little while that God led him over. He didn't realize it was God leading him, but God led him over to a relative's house, and he got a Bible that had belonged to his mother, and his mother had passed away when he was a young child. And they gave him that Bible that belonged to his mother. And in there, she had gone through and she had underlined certain things. There were certain things in there. As he started to read through there, there were certain things that she had underlined and highlighted. And as he began to read, the truth of God's word began to come alive to him for the first time. And he said, I talked to him this morning on the way here, because I said, I want to know, tell me again this story. And as he was telling me, I could feel the Lord driving down the road. I could feel the Lord, and I feel the Lord now. I thank him for that. Lord, I feel like this beginning has been just dry, but there's been a reason for it. Guys, listen, there's a reason. There's a warning that's going out, and there's a reason for it. Just jumping up and down and shouting doesn't get the work done sometimes. You got to hear the word of God that's going to bring you in and keep you from going out and destroying your life. You are possibly on the verge, on the razor's edge, the decision of destroying your life. And you have the warning coming to you today. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. There is safety and peace in the fold. But Brother Eddie, those words of God began to come to him up off the pages. And he said, one of the things that I realized in that word of God, he says that Jesus told the disciples, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He said, nobody had ever told me before that I had to have the actual Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues that will give you the power over sin in this life and will carry you through all the way to the end. He said, I didn't realize. He said, nobody had ever really told me that before. And as I began to read it, he said, and then the other place in there was a little spot where it talked about greeting your brother with a holy kiss. And he was like, what do you mean? I don't understand that. And I tell you, that's one of the tools that the devil is using right now, because the devil likes to take what God uses as his sign and use it for something that would be, he wants to pervert that sign. For instance, I want to give you an example. What's the rainbow for? God specifically put the rainbow here on this earth as a sign. It is a sign given from God to Noah and everyone else after Noah that says, never again am I going to destroy the earth with a flood. I'm going to destroy it by fire one of these days, and it's coming, but I will never again, and this is my promise, and this is the token that you have of my promise that I will not go back on my word. This rainbow is meant as a sign to you and to all future generations. Never again will I destroy the earth with a flood. And what has the world done today? They've taken that symbol of a rainbow and they have perverted it to something that God did not intend for it to mean. And it now has become the flag of the homosexual movement. And it is intentional. Satan is intentionally using signs that God wanted to use for his glory. Satan, from the very beginning, was about stealing the glory of God. That's why he got cast out of heaven to begin with, is because he was wanting to usurp and to get and steal God's glory. And God cast him out of heaven. And he's been trying to do it ever since. And so he's done the same with the rainbow. And the same thing is happening where it says, greet your brothers with a holy kiss. So I want to be, Brother Melvin has talked on this. It doesn't mean you got to go up there and you got to smooch another man in the mouth. That's not what he's talking about. If you go over to the Middle East, when you see them greet one another, a lot of times they will stand up, they'll shake hands with each other, and they'll embrace and they'll do kind of a kiss on either cheek type thing. And it's a traditional customary greeting when you go over to the Middle East. You see it there all the time. So, but what Satan has intended to do with that sign is to make it look like we are participating in homosexual activities when that is the farthest thing from what we are doing. If you know any child of God, they are as far away from a homosexual activity as they can possibly be. But one of the things that was written, that it was underlined in that Bible, was you will see, he said, greet your brethren with a holy kiss, or with a kiss of charity. And it's mentioned multiple times there in the Bible. And Brother Eddie was at his job. He was a young man in his 20s, and he was working, and there were two men that were there that he had gotten to know a little bit, and he watched, and they would do that greeting the way that the Word of God tells them to greet. Greet one another with a holy kiss or with a kiss of charity. And that was underlined in that Bible so that he knew. And when he saw it, he began to talk to him about it and to ask, hey, what are you doing? So do you realize that when we do these things out in public, it opens a door for us to share our faith? It opens a door for us to tell others, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing that for? And it gives us the opportunity to say, hey, look, here's what the Bible says about this. And hey, did you know that you need the Holy Ghost? My dad said that when he first met Granny Worley, the first thing she asked him, he came up to Granny Worley and he said, one of the very first things that she asked him, he says, hi, I'm Randy. She said, hi, son, do you have the Holy Ghost? I mean, just bam, right there off the bat. He's like, no, ma'am, I don't. But she was putting it out there, putting her faith out there. God has set us as a city that sits on a hill. We are a shining light. Literally, where this church is sitting on a hill right by the interstate and is a shining light to the world. And has the opportunity to bring people in that need to hear the love of God. They need to hear that there is a Jesus who loves them, who died for them, and that there is a Holy Ghost that you can receive, that in that day that you receive it, you will know that you are saved. No man will have to tell you. You won't have to go down and kneel down on a sinner's bench and repeat a sinner's prayer and somebody write your name in a book and them tell you you received it. You will know. At that day, you will know that you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, because He doesn't leave it up to chance. He gives us a sign, that sign of the cloven tongue, that you know the day that you have received the Holy Ghost and you have been sealed from that day forward, never to go back into a life of sin, but to stay pure until He calls His bride. Excuse me. But Brother Eddie saw that practiced out in the world. And when he did, he began to ask them about it. And they began to share their faith. It was Brother Gary Thompson and Brother David Balch. And they shared their faith with him and brought him to church. And said, come go to church with us. And he came to church. And he heard Brother Melvin preach the undefiled Word of God, the unadulterated, pure Word of God. He heard that Word of God, and it matched up directly with what his mother had outlined in that Bible. And so Brother Eddie, with his honest heart, asked God, how do I know what is true? And it's okay to ask God, how do I know what is true? Ask Him. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong at all. God, how do I know? How do I know for me that this is true? And God will give you an answer. He'll give you an answer and let you know that this is true for you. Thank you, Lord. And as He is giving you that answer. But Lonnie, this may be the last thing that I have to say, and I'm going to try and get out of the way. Is I truly believe that there are some that are here that are hearing that Word of God, and they are asking, is this really true? And God has given them that answer that it's true. And then they're waffling between an opinion of, do I come to it or do I run away from it? While He is calling you, while He is working with you and drawing you, if you feel that drawing power of the Lord in your life, please don't resist it. Please. Lord, I'm praying, children of God, I want you to pray right now. Pray now that God would do that work in their hearts. And if they feel that drawing hand of the Lord, don't run away from it, but run to it. Because, Manny, I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm going to, I love you, but you know, you and I have talked, and I think you're okay with me saying this, but years ago, Mandy was in the church, and she asked God, Lord, I've grown up in this all my life, and I know my mother and my father and my uncles and aunts, but are you really real? Is this really true? And she said, if you're really real, if this is really true, let him sing these two songs. I want to hear these two songs if you are real. And she said it wasn't just a few minutes. Brother Greg sang those two songs back to back. And let her know for a certainty that God was real. And at that point, He was answering that prayer, and she had the opportunity to come to Him right then. But there was a choice that was made right then. I have more living that I think I want to do. I want to do it my way just a little bit longer. And it's been 30 years, probably. And she still hasn't received the Holy Ghost. I believe she's going to. I believe she's the Lord's calling her again. But it took 30 years before that calling of the Lord came on her life again, where she could actually come down here and pray in this altar and the children of God feel to pray for her. You can come down here and pray and pour out your heart to God. And if we can't feel to pray for you and that drawing hand of the Lord is not on you, He may not be calling you right then because you have rejected Him one too many times. And if you reject Him one too many times, He may quit offering it to you for a while and let you go out and make a wreck of your life so you can realize how good it is with the Holy Ghost. So, but my prayer is, Lord, I received the Holy Ghost as a young child. I was in my teens. My wife received it in her teens. And there are record and sister back there, I think she was 9 years old. That's the youngest I've ever heard of somebody receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. But it is not always an easy life with the Holy Ghost. But it is so much better with the Holy Ghost than it is without the Holy Ghost. And it is so much easier to come to the Lord while you are young than it is to come to Him once you've gotten old and you have a trouble kneeling down and you can't lift your hands up and pray very long at all and you have so many cares of this life, Brother Lonnie, that you just can't do anything to get your mind free enough to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the begging and the pleading that I'm trying to do with you right now is if you feel God calling you, when it comes time for us to have this altar call, please don't run over and pick up a baby. Don't run and get your cell phone out of your pocket. Brother Lonnie, I'm going to meddle in just a little bit because I would ask y'all to pray for me on this, that I am afraid that having a cell phone in the church. So think about it while you're sitting around the dinner table. Can you have a conversation with each other while everybody's sitting there looking at a cell phone? If you're all looking at a cell phone, can you talk to each other and have a meaningful conversation? It is the exact same way when the God of glory is trying to talk to your soul and He is speaking to you in a still, small voice saying, come unto me. The church house is not the place to pull your phone out and to let the devil distract your mind. If you're looking at the Bible and looking at Scripture, that's one thing. If you're pulling up Instagram and Snapchat and whatever else it is, and these things aren't bad things. I'm not telling you it's a bad thing to have Instagram or Snapchat. What I'm telling you is that when that is what the devil is using to distract your mind long enough to keep you from listening to the call of the Lord as it is coming upon you, what he is doing is keeping your mind trapped one more time. And you're listening one more time to that voice of the devil until you get out that door. And then it's harder and harder to hear the voice of the Lord when you're surrounded by the noise of the adversary. Because when you're outside of these walls, you are surrounded by the noise of the adversary. And he is trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. But while you're in here, don't let the devil distract your mind. Sit still and in the quiet of your heart, listen. And if you feel that drawing power of the Lord, oh dear God, please don't resist it. Please, please, please do not resist that calling and that drawing of the Lord, because it is Him saying, I want you. You are one of my lost sheep. And I want you and I want you today. And I'm here to give you life and it more abundantly. I'm not here to squelch your joy or to steal your pleasure. I'm here to give you life and joy and it more abundantly in this life. Because what you're doing right now is running after pleasures that are just temporary. They are just fleeting in time. And after you've enjoyed that euphoria for just a little bit, once it's gone, you're left just as empty as you ever were. And that quietness and that stillness sets in as you're laying on your bed at night and you're sitting there thinking, oh Lord God, if I die right now where I am, I'm bound for a devil's hell. Whether or not I've knelt a time in this altar or not, if that call has come upon your life and you feel that drawing hand of the Lord and you are rejecting Him, and if that call of death comes in your life, that's it. You are bound. There is the truth of God that you are either going to heaven or to hell. That is the simplicity of this thing. And we are begging you today, begging you, please, if you are hearing the voice of the Lord, don't harden your heart as they did in the day of provocation, but come to the Lord as He's calling you. Brother Lonnie, I think I'm done. I love y'all. I hope you know that I love you. And I feel like I've stumbled around a good bit today, but my desire is to, Lord, I don't want to lose a one of you. I don't want to lose a one of you. Because I've seen the end of that road. I've seen it. And I know what happens at the end of that road, and it is certain death and destruction. And it's so much better on this side. And this is a plea that I'm begging of you. Please, don't resist the hand of the Lord when He's calling you. Brother Langston, have y'all, do y'all ever pray over the students before they go back to school?
We can start.
Is it, would that be okay? I don't want to do something that, if before we have altar call, all of you that, because we're starting school, you're going back into a war zone right now. And I want us, we have record in the Word of God of being able to pray that God would deliver us from evil. It's our right. It is the right that we have to pray over our children that God would deliver them from evil. So before we have altar call, if parents, if y'all are okay with it, if you want to have your children, what I would like to do is let's bring them out here. Let's everybody come out and let's gather around them and let's pray specifically for. And I think there's one spot in John that I may read while they're out there. And y'all come on. If you feel like it, come on now. Let's come down here and we'll pray over these children. And then we'll have altar call after that, if that's okay, Brother Lonnie. Jesus, when He was just about to go away, He was just about to leave them. He knew He was just about to be crucified. And He's giving words of encouragement and He prays specifically for the children or the disciples that He left behind. And when He did, He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. Lord God, how we give these to You right now. Father, these are our children and we are giving them to You. Lord Jesus, how I thank You. Right now, we are giving them to You. And all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the Scripture may be fulfilled. And now come I to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them Thy word. And Lord, that's the prayer that I have done today. God, I'm praying that I have given them their word, your word, Father, and that we as parents and as grandparents have raised them in a place where we have given them the word of God, the truth of God, the bread of life that will keep them forever and ever. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. The devil hates them because they are not of the world. They are children of the promise. These are children of the promise. This promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. They are children of the promise, and they have a right to this same Holy Ghost that we have. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Dear God, let that truth of the Lord go down into their hearts. Let it always be in their hearts. And when the devil tries to steal it away, Lord, let that seed be planted down in their heart so that when they grow old, they will not depart from it, Lord, but they will come unto you. Glory to God, one of these days, Lord, that they will come to you. Thank the good Lord Jesus. How I love you. Lord, that they will come to you and that that word of God would be planted down into their hearts. Father, I'm begging of you, Lord. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Glory to God. Father, children of God, let's gather around them and let's pray for them that the truth of God would be made known in their lives, that the hedge of protection would be placed around them, and that God would protect them from evil. And if you feel like laying your hands on them and praying over them and loving on them, pray over them, love on them, and ask God to protect their life, because the most important thing is that they come to the Lord and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Children of God, let's pray today. I thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you. You, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your love, God, and I'm begging of you to look down and to keep this hedge of protection around our children. Father, that you would draw them to you. Lord, we know that there is an adversary that is sent to steal, kill, and destroy, but we know that you said you have overcome the world. Lord, you have overcome death, hell, and the grave, Father, and I thank you, dear God, for your love and for your mercy. Father, and I'm asking you, Lord, to help them. Lord, when that call comes on their life, Lord, when they reach that age of accountability and when it is time for you to draw them, God, help them to come to you with all that they have and not to reject you, Lord. Glory to God. Father, let them know the love that we have for them. And God, I ask you to protect them and to keep them safe, dear Lord. Father, how I love you and I praise you, dear God. Glory, glory to God. Thank you, dear God. Lord, I thank you for what you let us feel. God, I thank you for that power of the Lord. Amen. Glory, glory, glory to God. How I bless the name of the Lord today, and I thank you, God. Father, you know the love that we have for these, and we don't want to lose a one of them. Father, we desire not to lose a one of them that you've given to us, God. Oh, Jesus, I'm begging of you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise the good Lord. I thank you, God. Lord, I love you today. Oh, thank God. Lord, I love you today, and I bless your name, Father. Lord, I bless you, and I thank you, God. Father, bless them and help them, God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Lord, how we thank you, dear God. Glory, glory to God. Father, that you would protect them. Lord, and that you would draw them, dear God. Glory to God. Oh, God, how I love you and I praise you today. Thank the good Lord for your mercy and for your love. Glory to God. I thank you, dear Lord. God, I'm begging of you, Lord, to look down on them and to help them, Father.
God, please draw them to you. Help them to come to you, Lord. Glory to God. Father, I thank you, dear Lord. Glory, glory to God. Thank you, Lord.